Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We are recording.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. How are we all?
We are very well.
Sorry, I was concentrating on the technicalities of this podcast.
Can I quickly start off by saying thank you?
Oh, you said thank you to the peoples?
No.
To me?
Yes.
What have I done?
Done all the technical stuff.
Oh, the technical stuff, yeah.
So, you know, you do all of that. And so I completely forgive you for getting a bit like, oh my God, is this all recording at the beginning? Because it's a big responsibility.
It is.
And which weekly appears to go wrong. Michael Douglas.
I'm eating something.
Have you just eaten something?
I'm going to rinse
it away. What is it with starting this podcast? You have to put something in your mouth.
You put something in your mouth, but then you
took it out. I took it out because I know our listeners deserve better.
What is it that you put in your mouth?
Nothing. Some kale.
It was a Jolly Rancher, folks.
It was your fault. It was on the desk.
Sugar is what she's eating.
It was on the
desk. Outrageous.
Yeah.
How are you today?
That'll teach me to pull you up on eating.
Yeah, I'm on it. Hmm? Let's take a little picture for the people's, for the Instagrams, people who look at us on Instagram and things like that. Wow, I look quite good today. Look at that. I've got B.A. Baracus around my neck. I've got a series of necklaces on today. There you go. But I put this on the other day and I'm not taking it off yet. Do you like it? Is it sexy?
It's very sexy. I told you at the time, didn't I? I said, that's really sexy.
You did. Was that you that pinged then?
No, I don't think so. Mm. I've got something I really want to talk about.
Okie dokie. Is it sounds like important?
Yeah, it's really good because I was just thinking about, I think the way that we speak to each other is very nice and respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was going to say something very disrespectful there, but I got too scared.
And there's a lot of things that I think at this stage of our lives we've got right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a nice person when I'm with you.
Yeah.
I like myself with you in a relationship.
Mm.
Anyway, I found... And as much as I don't like Instagram suggesting accounts for me to follow, I have found if somebody wants to have a good relationship, I have literally found the greatest relationship counsellor online ever, but he's not actually a counsellor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a man who is not a counsellor or a relationships expert. He's just a husband who wants to make it work with his wife.
Okay.
And he's thought about it a lot,
mm-hmm.
but he also happens to be absolutely flipping brilliant at making content.
Mm.
And it's called Jimmy on Relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an American guy. They've got three kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's very honest and quite a... It's a brutal post where he had an affair, but he had no intention of leaving his wife, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
He just had a fling while he was with his wife. And from that, he realised he could lose everything that he cherished and held close to his heart. And he decided to change as a man. And he changed everything about their relationship and the way that they spoke to each other. But he also, what I like about his page is he will pull women up on things and he will pull men up on things. Mm-hmm. It isn't all just going, guys, you know, we've got to...
It's like
looking at both sides of a relationship and seeing how can we improve. Now, I've only seen him on Instagram, but just earlier I was doing some research and he's all of his long form content, well, and some of his short forms. So some of them are 1 minute nine. So he posts all of his Instagram stuff on YouTube, but he also does say, for example, he talked about killing his marriage, 15, 23 minutes long. Some are 18 minutes long. It's like a narcissist versus avoidant. Everybody loves a story about a narcissist.
Yeah, they rate really well on
but
Instagram.
But they are, you know, toxic response remote. Sometimes this turns her on. Who is the narcissist, me or them? Alpha male rehab. Lower the bar, women. You know, why they stonewall you. There's some really good topics, I think, that people will kind of look at and go, God, I think these are interesting. And even if they're not interesting, he often plays a woman in it. So he plays the man and a woman. He wears this wig.
Yes, I saw him in the wig.
It's really clever, I think. And if you were able to sit down both sides of the partnership and both watch something and both be prepared, you made a very valid point, though, that sometimes when you watch something together, you know, sometimes one person doesn't like the other person, and that's why they behave in a certain way.
There's deep-rooted problems. Then you're far less likely to apologise because you feel like you're still waiting for an apology from something that happened
10 years ago.
Years ago, yeah.
I mean,
you carry,
you know,
baggage around. God,
these little things that go wrong, if you don't address them straight away, they just eat away. And the other greatest piece of advice ever is never, ever say anything you don't mean or use abusive language, because it's the abusive language that you never, ever forget. Say one bad thing, and that will be remembered for the rest of the other person's life.
Yeah.
Because if it's really mean, which at the time sometimes people want to incur the greatest pain possible, you'll never forget it.
Yeah.
But they will. Oh, I've got on with my life. I've forgotten I've said that to you. So those are the things I think that come back to haunt you years later. You know, you think, well, I got over that 10 years ago. You go, well, I didn't. You know.
Yeah.
So you've got to sort those out at the time. But this page, if both of you want to work at it and you're in a place where you've got quite a good relationship, but you'd like to kind of polish it a bit and make it even better, Jimmy on Relationships is really, really good. He's got 722,000 subscribers on YouTube and something like 2.3 million followers on Instagram. And he's just a dad standing in front of a mum asking her to love him.
Very good. I've got an Instagram account.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Simon Squibb, which is quite a name, isn't it?
God, Squibbs.
Squibb, yeah, Simon Squibb. So I stumbled across
this. I used to call squirrels.
Come up in my algorithm. I often thought about what I would do if I ever made a lot of money and didn't have to work anymore.
You showed me this guy. I love him.
Yeah, it's great. So I don't know a lot about him, but he seems to be a kind of successful entrepreneur and investor in people and ideas.
I'm going to look him up quickly while you're doing
that. Yeah, please do. He's got about 750,000 followers as well. It's called Simon Squibb. I'm just going to play a little thing and you can have a little listen to it.
Hi, good afternoon.
Where are you going?
Actually, I would like a ride home.
Sure, no problem. What's your dream?
It's a nice question. So my dream is my company called The On Purpose Studio, and my dream is to create companies without ego, where we collaborate, where we can be true humans, make a meaningful impact, and combining it with a joyful and free life.
Wow, this sounds like what I'm trying to do. what's it called again? If people want to follow you, how can they follow you?
It's called The On Purpose Studio.
The On Purpose Studio.
What do you think? Should I go in?
Anyway. So he's called Simon Squibb.
I was thinking, like, if a man that was picking me up in a car went, "Hi, what's your dream?"
Yeah.
And she hadn't even got in the car, I'd be like, "You're a freak.
Yeah, yes.
I'm not getting in your car."
Okay, yeah, you're probably right.
But I saw a great one with a guy. Where was the one with the lovely black guy in the like, he was outside?
Oh, God, that was so nice, wasn't it?
It was so nice.
He stops people in the street and he asks them what their dream is or what they would like to do with their life. This one's had 14.1 million
views. Yeah, because it's so heartwarming.
Do you have a dream?
No, I'm just rebuilding my life disaster, a pandemic and everything.
Anything we can do to help you?
No, I think asking me and getting me thinking about that just now, and going
so
to the
nice.
Office, and I think you've got me in a better mood.
Oh,
what a lovely guy.
Yeah. It's really
wait,
crazy.
wait. Thank you for that.
Have a great day.
See you. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. Great, isn't it? So anyway, I really liked his content. I thought it was really good.
He's a nice guy.
He often goes around and says, you know, would you give up your job now if I gave you £10,000 to follow your dream? And people kind of go, yeah, I would, you know. And he says to this one girl, what is it you want to do? She goes, I don't want to open a cake shop. And he says, yes. If you make me a cake now and I like it, I'll invest in you and you could open up a cake shop. How's that? So she makes him a cake and he goes, yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like, what? It's so good that people are out there. And I would...
So he is an angel investor, an entrepreneur, and a founder at helpbank.com, helpbnk.com. He's also someone who bought a staircase in London and put a doorbell on it so you can pitch your dream to it and get help. It's funny, I haven't heard about that.
Yes, I mean...
you can find out why and more about Simon via this story in the Daily Mail.
He set up a subscription model and all the profit from the subscription model goes into helping young entrepreneurs.
God, isn't that great?
It is good,
so the
yes.
Help Bank, what's your dream? Ring the doorbell and pitch your idea.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
How good is that? The Help Bank.
Yes. Because, I got investment for my business and it was unbelievably helpful when someone came along and said, yeah, I'll help you out and let's see what we can do.
I want to talk about an entrepreneur next. Mm-hmm. Holly told me about this place in Manchester because you know her and Paddy are going to live in Manchester.
Right.
And it's called Love From. And it's a teetotal bar. Mm-hmm. It's an alcohol-free bar in Manchester. Great. It's at Campus, the bungalow in Eaton Street, Manchester. And they have lots of parties and Saturday sessions, live music, same shit, different brain, ADHD and creativity talks and podcasts, quiz nights, Friday night DJs, things like that. And I think he's just got an extension because the 3 months that he's had at the bar have gone so well. And I'll tell you why I think that is, because I think there are a lot of people who don't necessarily want to drink every night. But if you want to go out and be social in a bar type arena, the choices on offer to you of non-alcoholic beverages are so shocking.
Yeah.
So I don't want to drink Diet Cokes. I don't want to drink any kind of fizzy sweet drinks. Mm. I can't drink more than one because it's just too much.
Yeah.
I want to drink different flavoured kombuchas. I loved at Soho House. Now I sound so la-di-da, don't
yeah,
I?
You are very but la-di-da, yeah.
They used to sell kombuchas. They've stopped. I don't know why.
No.
And now all it is sweet. And, you know, they go, oh, we've got mocktails. But the mocktails are just full of syrup.
They're also bloody expensive, you know.
And they're bloody expensive. Mm. I mean, I'm drinking a glass of kombucha here. Mm. I'm going to recommend this next week. I'm going to find out what the name of it is. It's so blooming good. But I think they should be selling more healthy, sugar-free, good for your gut stuff that people enjoy drinking and more interesting drinks. And that's what Love From have so cleverly done.
Oh,
and, you know, we did regional last week, so I thought I'd do something again. He's called Carl, the founder, and he is Carl Considine. He's a really, really nice guy. We've been in touch and everything because he couldn't believe I posted about his bar online on Instagram. I have. And his email is carl@love-from.co. And he, they are also on Instagram, Love From.
Yeah, very good. It is difficult. I mean, I think people generally drink alcohol because they want to get drunk. So you go out and have eight or nine drinks.
But wouldn't you want to go to a pub just for the social, but there's just not enough choice to drink?
Yes, there is. And I also I only need it. You know, if you're sat at home watching a movie, how many drinks do you have? You know, but if you're in a bar, if you're not drinking, it feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
So you're kind of forced to drink, and then you just find yourself, you're full of liquid. And even when I drink booze, I get bored of drinking. You know, I don't know. I can't work out what the hell's going on.
We are tailored to drinking in this country, and even people guilt-tripping people that aren't drinking is not okay. If you just want to go out and be social and not drink alcohol, let them.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I sometimes just get a tonic water. That's pretty good.
Yeah, great.
Okay, don't quite know where to start. What about Fallout? Should we talk about Fallout?
Yes.
And we've been watching this program called Fallout on the Netflixes.
That's interesting. You weren't sure at the first episode.
Amazon Prime?
Yeah, Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. It is called Fallout. It's number one in the charts. It gets 8.2 on IMDb. There's 8 episodes, I think, in total.
Yeah, 8.
They're about an hour long. So it starts in, I think it looks like the 1940s or 50s America, and there's a nuclear war, all-out war. So a bunch of very kind of wealthy upper-middle-class families have bunkers, which they go underground in. And that's kind of the end of that episode, if I remember. And then it bumps along to 219 years later.
So it's 20... global thermonuclear war began both and ended in the span of about 2 hours on Saturday, October the 23rd, 2077. So actually...
Oh, it's in the future.
It's futuristic.
Oh, because it doesn't look like that. It looks like the 1950s.
No, but they are building all of these bunkers and stuff underneath with like...
Mm. And then it fast forwards about 219 years later, and there's all these families that have kind of evolved underground. What's that?
In the vaults.
In the vaults. Because it's 290 years later, it's arguably livable outside, but they've never been outside before. Mm. Anyway, something happens in the vaults, and then some people are forced into the outside world again. Mm. And of course, there are various mutants and things like that out there. It's not a zombie thing at all. It's got quite a lot of humour in it, but it's also quite dark and a bit violent, and it's definitely science fiction, I would say. By the end of episode 2, I was a bit like, oh, I'm not sure I need to watch any more of this. And then you carried on watching it with Chester.
I've loved it.
And then I watched episode 7, and then I thought, oh, I wish I had stuck with it, because episode 7 looked really good.
I think you will really enjoy it. It just builds and builds and builds. Mm. The other thing that I think they've done absolutely brilliantly is their choice of music for moments. So they play absolutely brilliant 40s and 50s style music, like Nat King Cole, Perry Como, the Castells, Scatman Crothers, Connie Conway, and they play kind of really happy, jolly 40s and 50s music or 20s and 30s music over the top of really horrific violence.
Yes.
And it's such a brilliant juxtaposition, and sort of you're so at odds with the music, and that it's stylish.
Yes.
It's brilliantly stylized and it looks absolutely amazing. So I really loved it, but I've got to say that the girl on it, the lead in it, is absolutely amazing. She is Ella Purnell, and she's a British actress.
Oh, is she?
Or should I say actor? I'm never quite sure. Like, really, really top-notch. It's also got a guy called Walton Goggins in, who plays the noseless cowboy.
The cowboy, yeah.
Oh, my God, he's so good.
Yes, he is good, isn't
but
he?
The one that really made me laugh, if there are any mums out there with daughters who are 20... to 23 or 24. Moises Arias plays Norm McLean, who is Lucy's brother, the main lead's brother, and he's a really good actor. And I was like, I bloody know him from somewhere. So I had to look him up on IMDb, and he was Rico in Hannah Montana. And he was such a funny actor in Hannah Montana.
Okay.
And I was like, God, I really, really know him. He is hilarious. And he's cropped up in this really brilliant drama, and he's really good in it as well. Hardly anybody well known. I don't recognise really anybody else in the cast, but they are all absolutely amazing. Is Matt Berry from Talk of the Town?
Yes. Toast of London.
Yeah. I mean.
Is he in it?
He's in it.
Oh.
Yes.
Could you be a bit more positive?
Yes!
Yes! Clem Fandango. So anyway, it's worth a watch, I think, so definitely give that a shout.
Can we just recommend that on YouTube?
Yes, of course. Do you know what it's called?
I would look up Clem Fandango on YouTube. Yeah. It must be that.
Yes, and he plays a kind of minor celebrity doing a voiceover, doesn't
he? And
can
I just say that the voiceover situation that he is in is exactly one I have been in 1,000 times before.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask him to sort of say yes. He's got one word to say in this voiceover. And they've got him there for a while, and they ask him to... Okay, listen to a bit of this. This is very funny.
Familiar enough with the song, you know where you're going with it.
Okay, so just sing it normally and then do the short voiceover mentioning the product at the end.
All right.
Stephen, This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
Who the fuck are you?
Clem's with us for a few weeks on work experience. Can you hear me, Stephen?
Yeah, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
If you sing it normally, then do the short voiceover mentioning the product at the end.
He's just fucking said that.
Hi, Stephen.
Yes?
This is Clem Fandango.
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
Maybe try a couple of the traditional readings again, where you emphasise the word mind and the word gap.
Yeah, we could watch this forever, but if you put it, yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango, into YouTube's, you'll see this, but it's very, very funny. Excellent, excellent stuff. Right, there was something that I watched this week that absolutely blew my brains out.
Oh, go on.
And it was the SpaceX update from Elon Musk. This I saw on Twitter.
Can I ask you something?
Yes. Yeah.
People hate Elon Musk.
Yes, I mean, I've not stumbled across many people who hate him, but I can see people kind of roll their eyes a little bit when I mention his name or, you know, if he comes up.
But he, I mean, he's weird. Mm-hmm. I'll give him that.
He's got Asperger's.
Oh, I shouldn't say that, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But he's different.
Yes.
But there is no doubt that he's an innovator. And there is no doubt that some things he'll get wrong.
Yeah.
Because innovators must be allowed to make enormous catastrophic mistakes. But if there weren't any innovators, nothing would happen. Nothing would be discovered.
Risk-takers,
right? Electric cars are as big as they are because of Tesla.
Well, it's the biggest car company in the world, I think. Yeah. You combine all the other car companies.
And, you know,
in the
he uses every penny that he's got to think of other innovations to try and help mankind. And that if he becomes a squibillionaire from something that he innovates that's successful, that's going to help the rest of us, I don't care.
Yes, I don't particularly care either. But yes, I think because he's got such an enormous amount of money and arguably a lot of power, there's a lot of people who equate those two things to being bad or corrupt.
Is it, why do people that have money, why are they considered to have power? What? Why does that money equate to power? I'm just interested. I know that sounds like a really stupid...
It's probably as simple as it sounds, really, is that you've got more choices than other people. And
but to what? To buy things? Like
Access to, I guess, education and places to stay and people to meet. I mean, the people that want to spend time with Elon Musk is pretty much every powerful person in the world, I would have thought, whether it's politicians or senators or judges or whatever. I mean, now one's...
Oh, I see. So, like, maybe he could ask political favours or...
Oh, for sure, yeah. Mm. Like, I mean, I would have thought he's...
For a business or...
Incredible.
A tax break or...
of power, although Joe Biden hates him, you know.
So why would Joe Biden hate him?
Because I think that Joe Biden's largely a democratic... what would you say? He's on the left side of American politics.
So is he
and
right?
Elon Musk has always been democratic until recently when he felt that... California, where he wanted to base his company, was really just a one-party state. And actually, the left were allowed to do whatever they really want in California because there was no opposition. So he decided to swing towards Republican to try and bring a balance, more balance of power to California. Because obviously, if you've only got one particular party continually in power, then there is no progress because you need the other side to force progress. So he thought it was getting a bit stale, so that's why he slightly switched sides.
But that's maybe why people don't like him then.
And because he's bought Twitter and he's allowed a lot of right-wingers back on Twitter, everybody seems to think now that he's a right-winger.
But well, he is a right.
Describe himself he as is. A centrist. I don't think he'd ever really...
You think he's a centrist?
I do, yeah. I think,
aren't the Democrats in America kind of centrist?
If you brought them over here...
They're like Tories
they
here.
Be. Yeah. It's a slightly different game.
Yeah, and the... There. And the Republicans are like...
Anyway,
Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, he's delivered a kind of press talk about SpaceX, the SpaceX update for Starship Flight 3. Now, I don't know if anybody knows much about SpaceX or even Elon Musk, but this is a kind of 40-minute presentation he did to the world on X, but also the press and one thing or another about his plans over the next 20 years to colonise Mars and put human life on there.
Fuck.
And it is like watching like a scene from James Bond with the James Bond baddie like talking about what he's going to do. And you think, yeah, like this will never happen. But here it is happening. And there's this very amazing bit in it where he says, basically, in about 5 years' time, we'll have the capability to send a lot of rockets to Mars in one go. because you can only go to Mars once every 26 months. So once every 2 years, you can fly to Mars. And there's a kind of 2 month window where it's optimum, because Mars is quite close to Earth because it orbits around the sun at a slightly different pace to us. So Earth is only close to it every 26 months, if that makes right. sense. So you can yeah. fly and go to Mars quite quickly then,
yeah.
but you can't really at any other time. So he's saying in about 5 years' time, they're going to send, in one go, 1,000 rockets to Mars.
With how many people on each?
I don't know if there'll be people on each, but there'll be a payload on there, as they call it, which is stuff inside the rockets to build a house on Mars. Yeah.
Fuck.
And the rockets will be made of materials that will be repurposed when they land there. So the rockets won't come back. They'll just go land there and they will be dismantled and turned into...
houses.
Houses and a place to live. And
I've got to watch this.
It is absolutely bonkers. And then he lines up all the rockets. You can see these rockets here, for instance, and how they're going to work. But he said, when you see this, he said, no one will believe it, but 1,000 rockets will take off all at the same time from one particular place. And he said it'll be like watching Battlestar Galactica, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of rockets taking off.
Didn't you say that they're talking about sending 1 million people to Mars?
To colonise Mars, you need 1 million people. And I think you need 1 million tons of what they call payload, which is materials on there to produce sustainable life there. He reckons that'll take 20 years. But in 20 years' time, he thinks there will be people who will go to Mars and never come back.
And... because you've explained this to me in great detail, why it's important to colonise another place, because there is a big possibility that we are the only
conscious
life in the whole universe, or all universes.
Yeah, so at the moment. Yeah, it may well be that there's been conscious life elsewhere in the past, but it's died out.
And we might die out. Unless we colonise somewhere else.
We will definitely die out.
Yes.
Because Earth will be consumed by the sun in about 500 million years. So right. unless we become multiplanetary, we will definitely all right. die. And human consciousness might end forever.
Yes.
And then that might be it. We might literally be the only human consciousness or living conscious being in the entire universe. So he thinks, well, it'd be nice to extend the life of human consciousness forever. But you have to leave Earth in order to do that. And that's his big mission. It sounds insane, and lots of people, I think, were saying, well, it'd be better if you spent money on other things. But he is spending money on other things. So anyway, I found this whole thing absolutely fascinating. Whether you agree with it or not, it's entirely up to you. But it's well worth a listen, and he's such a peculiar kind of person. But I think the reasons are quite justified, and I like
talking to you about Elon Musk, because I feel like nobody knows as much about him as you do.
He's great.
You're very, very well read.
So it's called Elon Musk Delivers SpaceX Update. So if you put that into the YouTubes, you'll find that. Or if you follow Elon Musk on X, then you can do that as well.
I'm off X.
Yeah, I really like it.
I get so abused on there.
Yeah, you do get abused on there. Really,
I can't fucking
me off
do
that.
It.
The thing, I tell you, one of the things that really pissed me off the most was when somebody said, oh, are you comfortable sat on the fence there?
That's me, yeah.
And I thought, fuck you, like... If you want to try and garner unbiased information, you sit on the fence. You don't sit on one side or the other of it, because otherwise you're just sucking information.
I like being on the fence.
Of course, it's the best place to be.
But no, but also often in something, I'm a Libran, and anybody else that's a Libran will understand this. But I'm a Libran. I am the scales. So in one way, I'll go, yes, I totally understand your point of view, but on the same topic, I might completely understand the totally opposing view, and I'll want to listen to both, and I'll want to try and learn. And I might have anti that idea in that camp, but anti that idea in the other camp.
Yeah.
I might disagree with both camps, and that does put me on the fence.
Yeah.
And then suddenly being on the fence, I got like a whole load of abuse for that as well. I just thought, fucking hell.
It's so funny, isn't it?
I'm not even saying anything. It's not like I'm not even posting anything. Yeah. They're just abusing me. I'm not going on that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I had a very nice message from Andrew Gold this week. We talked about his book, The Psychology of Secrets. But I described him as seemingly on the right of politics. And he said, thanks for saying
that. Because he's like a sort of centrist.
Because he said, I'm not really on the right. Yeah. But you know, because of the things I discuss, everybody thinks I am. And then he listed a whole bunch of kind of leftist positions that he holds, and I was like, yeah, of course, like, it's so funny that you just have to say one thing that's
You know, I'd love to interview Andrew Gold. Nobody will interview him.
Only not.
No, right, the press won't go anywhere near him because they think he's too controversial. he's just an interviewer. It's absolutely all, mad. Yeah. Anyway,
he's great. And thanks for your message, Andrew. I really appreciated that.
I've got to thank you for something. I'm going to talk about Billy Joel.
Oh, did you talk about the song?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Billy Joel and a song that I found by mistake on Spotify. And Spotify, I know, I've heard
it's
you.
Hard, yeah.
It's very hard, isn't it?
And it's simple chords. But
it's very simple chords, but it's the way he plays it and sings at the same time is really difficult, Jesus. I think. Anyway, what was amazing, I want to thank you because you sent me Howard Stern online. Yeah.
Interviewing Billy Joel
which was absolutely amazing. So if you look up on YouTube, Howard Stern interviewing Billy Joel about this track, he will explain to you exactly the nuts and bolts of how he created it. But I'd like to read you some of the lyrics from it, because when I first heard it, I thought, oh, this is a very different Billy Joel track to any Billy Joel that I've heard. Because we both grew up with Billy Joel in our homes. And one of my favourite ones later in life was "We Didn't Start the Fire." So, in every heart there is a room, a sanctuary safe and strong, to heal the wounds from lovers past until a new one comes along. I spoke to you in cautious tones, you answered me with no pretense, and still I feel I said too much. My silence is my self-defence. But if my silence made you leave, that would be my worst mistake. So I will share this room with you, and you can have this heart to break.
Yeah, I know. It's
and you know what I love?
Lyrics,
I played it to you, and you kind of went, oh, this is nice. But you didn't really listen to the lyrics. And then you sent me a photograph of you on the tube.
Yeah.
And you went, I've just listened to Billy Joel and really heard it for the first time.
Yeah,
you had tears in your eyes. It's just a fantastic tune. So please, you know, you don't need to be going through heartache or break, because you will be able to, everybody can relate to this song in some way.
It's a funny song, because it's not like chords and singing. It's the chords are the melody. So it kind of goes, dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes, because I didn't actually like it very much. Because it was like, I can't really get on with this. It just feels like a really odd song. That's the live one. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, crikey, O'Reilly.
So he explains there is a slight kind of discord, dissonant note that he puts in it to make it sound awkward because of the pain.
Yes, because
the tune
he plays it normal. Cause it's just like C, F, and G or something, but there's a little dissonant note in there, I think. That brings it down, like makes it sound really
it's
sad.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
There was a rumour that it was about Elle Macpherson. Is it Elle Macpherson? That it was when he was breaking up with her. I don't know if that's true or not, but I read it in the comments section. But what a song.
I finally got
into it. I was like, I can barely listen to it without tears rolling down my face.
I loved it so much when you got it, because I was like, I don't think he really got it. like, yeah, no, he's not got no, it yet. No. But I waited very patiently.
Oh.
And you got it.
And when he says, you can have this heart to break, because he knows it's going to get broken. So he offers it to her, yeah, doesn't he? Fuck, it's big.
And that kind of thing of, oh, I'm going to try and be a bit quiet because maybe she'll come.
Yeah.
But it's my self-defense. Yeah. I just
and the silence is not helping him.
God.
But yeah, God, it's brilliant. On another topic, when we went to see Paul Weller the other week, he opened with a song called Rip Up the Pages.
And so good.
I put it on the other day and you were like, why do I know this song? And it was like, oh, Paul Weller opened with it. And it's not even a song he's released at all, ever, I don't
think. Was it a B-side?
Yeah, it was kind of like a bonus track on an album.
Bonus, not even a B-side.
Such a good song. So if you're looking for something banging, slightly psychedelic and, you know, kind of indie rock, it's called Rip Up the Pages, and it's on...
Is that Better Better?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
But it's got some really good, like, warping pitch bends in it and stuff like that that are like, wow.
Rip Up the Pages.
Rip Up the Pages. It's on an album, I think, called 22 Dream. You've got to get it. But, yeah, it's a great song.
Auntie Becca gave us a recommendation this week.
Did she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she sent it to me, and it is about a page that's called ripplesuicideprevention.com.
Oh.
ripplesuicideprevention.com. It is a really good... It's like... a hub where it gives information and telephone numbers and the ability to phone very quickly
mm-hmm.
all of the mental health charities. So it's got ways to get support. So it says here, get support, and then it gives you all of them. You can web,
fine,
call, yeah. app, local, you know, and all the different charities
wow.
on there. And then there's solutions. So basically what they do is they talk to parents, they help parents put access something on their children's computer.
Mm.
And if you look up certain words or self-harming, eating disorders, something that might hurt you going forwards, you can get an alarm sent to the parents. I think that's one of the things that they do. Let me just double check. Parents, yes, parents and guardians, protect those closest to you. Educators, so protect your loved ones from harmful online searches, which I think was very helpful. Educators, so foster a safe environment for students. Mm. Healthcare professionals, helping you to help others. Small businesses and large businesses, to help everybody with well-being and resilience.
Very good. I'm fascinated by it. Concept of suicide. I assume people do it because they want this thing to stop, like life. They just
do you know
want
what
it
I think
stop.
I don't think it is that. I don't believe it's that. I believe it's that they believe that the world is better off without them.
Yeah,
like it's not that it's that this is so unbearable, it's that you would be happier without me, I'm causing you unhappiness, that your life would be better if I wasn't in it.
But it's the kind of...
The weight of the life?
No, I think it's just the fact that we don't know what happens afterwards. And I mean, Dawkins has got a fairly decent explanation for it, which is like, once you die, it's just like it was before you were born, you know. You don't know anything about it. But you know, there is this funny feeling that there is something else as well, like outside of this physical body.
That's why everybody goes to church
you may well
in old age.
Interact with after you're dead or something.
We all want to believe.
We had an idea, folks.
Can
for this
I just
podcast.
Say one more thing?
Yeah, of
sorry.
Course.
Before we end, because Ripple is a really good organisation, and on Instagram they're also called Ripple Suicide Prevention. And it might be that their name is
their Instagram name?
RPPLE. Is the charity name. And it intercepts harmful online searches to self-harm or suicide, protecting about 1.8 million people a week in 49 different countries.
Oh, well done.
So if you want to help them, or you want to become part of it, or you want to access...
That's their name, Ripple Suicide Prevention.
RippleSuicidePrevention.com.
Yeah, that's great. Well done. Great work.
And thank you, Becca.
We had a very good idea this week, can you believe? Can you believe that, folks? We had a good idea that we decided every week we would both come up with a great idea. And this was born out of the fact that we were in a cab.
Yeah.
And our cab was got caught on a bottleneck, and he was waiting for somebody to let him in. And then somebody let him in, I think. And the cab driver wanted to say thank you. You know, he put his arm in the air and he put his hazards on and one thing or another. And I thought, there should be like a light on your back window or something that says thank you or gratitude or grateful or something like that. Just so the car behind you that's let you in knows that you are genuinely happy and grateful that somebody let you in. I am what you might call, what do we call you, compliant. I am a compliant driver. I'm not one of those people that drives
to the end, really compliant.
And then tries to cut in at the last minute. I'm not that guy. But if I find myself in the wrong lane, I think, oh, fuck, I'm in the wrong lane. I wonder if someone will let me in. I'm like so unbelievably grateful if somebody says, yeah, no problem, you can come in. And I let people in all the time. Even
you'd
if
use your grateful light.
Even if they're twats, you know, and I think, oh, you've just come to the end of the line and you're trying to squeeze in. Oh, well, come on in, you know. I'll do that anyway. But I would love it if a little light came up and said, hey, thanks, I really appreciate you letting me in. I'd be like, fuck me, that's really made my day. So I'd like to invent something that would project onto your back windscreen just a little, thanks so much.
Grateful.
I really appreciate that.
I love that. Grateful.
It's a grateful light. Yeah.
A grateful light.
So someone can have that idea and make millions of pounds. What was yours?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you said mine's already been done.
No, I think you had a really good one.
What?
Delete my number from your phone.
Oh, okay.
This is a great idea.
This might exist,
but if it doesn't, go for it.
So I think that there should be a thing where if you fall out with somebody or you are in a business and you stop working together, or you've met somebody on Saturday night and you gave them your number because you were drunk and you suddenly think, I don't want them to have my number. There should be a button on your phone where you can say, delete my number from this number.
Yeah.
So if they text you, you can just delete your number from their phone and your name. And they'll be like, where's it gone? And then they've thrown away the piece of paper with your number on it.
I think it's a great idea.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence left saying somebody's deleted your number.
Yeah, yeah,
it just quietly disappears.
Yeah. I think that's a really, really good idea. It might exist already. If it does, please let us know. But if it doesn't,
somebody could
write a bit of code for that.
Yeah.
That would be bloody great.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, thanks for remembering that.
Yes, that was good, wasn't it? Okay. Have I got anything else? I've got a few other things, but we can leave until next week. Oh, we finished The Dropout.
Oh, God.
About Theranos.
Oh, my God.
I have to say, I'm really missing the whole story.
Amanda Seyfried.
Is that what she was called?
Amanda Seyfried? Yeah, Seyfried.
Was she?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Hang on. You've made me doubt myself. Hate it when this happens. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Amanda Seyfried. Yes. Here.
Oh, it is Amanda Seyfried. Yes.
When she plays her and she puts the Steve Jobs polo neck on she plays Elizabeth and she drops her voice and she starts talking with her undershot jaw.
Yes.
She is just so unbelievably brilliant in it.
We finished it and it's a real worth a watch. It's on the BBC iPlayer. It's 8 episodes long. They're about 40 minutes each. It's really well made. Mm. So well done to everybody who's made it. And it's a brilliant story. And it's a very recent one
and
as well.
So if you've not
got round
cast.
To watching it, then please watch it.
I think, is his name Naveen Andrews? Naveen. Sure. Sorry, I'm off now.
And then
Andrews, I am literally... Oh, my God!
Oh, wow.
See, I haven't got dementia. Whenever I remember something like that... Mm. I think I haven't got dementia.
Yeah, it's a great relief for me.
Yeah, because I forget everything else. My children's name. So Naveen Andrews is also in it.
Very good.
And it was, absolutely brilliant. You've got to watch it.
Eileen Cooper.
Yeah.
Says, so pleased you guys are back listening to the latest episode and you talking about
so many
Theo James.
Talk.
Saw him first in Bedlam with Hugo Spear's Supernatural Thriller series first series worth a watch. That's Eileen, thanks very much indeed.
Hugo Spears, do you remember him?
I do. Wendy Bell's been a listener for ages.
Yeah.
Just listened to your comeback episode. Thank God you are back. I was really worried you were too busy to actually do it. You really are a joy and it's such a fantastic podcast. I purchased, watched, read loads of your recommendations. Thankfully, I love them all. Anyway, how dare Juliet give you a poor review, expecting the earth from such busy people. Get a grip, Juliet. Yeah, well done. Thank you to both and welcome back. Thanks, Wendy Bell.
Hey, Michael and Davina. So great to have the pod back. I've been dying to listen since you posted last week, but I've held off and saved for best. Kids back at school today, and I've loved listening to the pod while sorting out the house following the Easter break. Oh, my God, I know how you feel. Yeah. Looking forward to this week's ep already. Love, Anna from Exeter. Thanks, Anna.
That was so professionally read out there. You put me to shame. Oh, my God, this is a big one. Can we get through all that, do you think?
Yes.
This is two snaps and one twist.
Wait. It's not. You can't say it like that.
Okay, sorry.
You got to go. This is two snaps and a kiss.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'll tell you. She's put one twist.
Okay.
But two snaps and a kiss was from Men on Film, which was two guys. I think it was the Wynan brothers. And... Okay, hold the line. Well, you look up, I'm going to read it out.
It says, "Hello, lovely folk. I'm so pleased that you are back. I am completely influenced by your recommendations. Thank you. Oh, thank you for Ted Lasso, Xylus, Easy Pull, Tubular Mascara, Disco Lights, for Ibiza, etc., etc. In today's episode, you mentioned Robert Love. I'm not here to cast judgment, but he has been wildly criticised on quite a few social media outlets. Robert Love, did we talk about
that? Alzheimer's guy. No, I didn't know this. So read it out loud, because if there's...
I also realise that debunking is a common trend, but I would ask if you would be considerate in sharing info like this, or at least provide more medically sound sources, especially on matters like Alzheimer's. As someone who has struggled with mental health and weight management for most of my life, I have recently had to purge the advice I've been given online in a way to manage my exposure to overwhelm. In some cases, misinformation. I appreciate you two and the time you give us. Please don't give this up. It's great stuff.
Oh, so listen, can I quickly talk about him?
Yeah, yeah.
He is a neuroscientist, and he actually is a neuroscientist. And when
when he
talks about everything, he is talking about all the things that everybody already talks about in articles. So I'm not sure he's been widely criticised on quite a few. So I'd be interested, if you don't mind two snaps, could you post me some of the stuff that he's been debunked? Because mostly he talks about sleep, the five things that you can do, which is eat, weight, exercise, you know, all the things that we kind of know, but I like to remind myself. Mm-hmm. He talks about some supplements, which make sense. He talks to other experts, other neurologists or people that have been working on things with Alzheimer's. And on my post, I said, in that film, I said, someone who can prevent, and nobody can prevent Alzheimer's. So what I should have said is he talks about trying to lower the risk of Alzheimer's. And I did write that later in the post. So that was my error. But I would love it. Can you send me the stuff, and I will read it next week. And if I feel like it is... debunking. Yes, he is a bona fide neuroscientist.
Thanks, Nish the Dish. This is this just goes to explain to people that we just read these fresh questions.
You know? But I think that's good.
Oh my God, living this new series, it's now my go-to during the clean on changeover day. This is from the Little Beach Retreat. I've taken so much from this one. Been wanting to learn chess for a while.
Kathy.
I've been wanting to learn chess for a while and the piano, as I'm one in our family who doesn't play. Oh, so you're going to get it. Thank you. Yeah, great. That's after I ordered the chocolate and follow the eggs and avocado, man. Yeah. So happy. Yeah, Eddie. Yeah.
Again, probably I should say that not everything Eddie says is 100% correct.
Yes.
But lots of the things that he says. So things like he stopped me eating grated cheese, pre-grated cheese.
It's covered in potato starch.
Which is sensible, but I hadn't really ever thought about it. Mm. So he's good for that. Mm. But he's not a dietitian.
No.
And he's not a, you know, so you've got to...
And a lot of people criticise him.
Online, I take most things with a pinch of salt. Yeah. But I really appreciate what she said. But can I just explain to you two snaps up and a twist and a kiss?
Uh-huh. Hello, I'm Blaine Edwards.
And I'm Antoine Mayweather.
And welcome to Men on Films.
We have
Die Hard. What a way to go.
90 minutes with Mr. Bruce Willis.
Oh, yes, don't tempt my tummy with the taste of nuts and honey.
I think this one still deserves the new and improved two snaps, a twist, and a kiss.
Very good. We got there in the end.
9 minutes with Mr. Bruce Willis.
Liz Trigg has messages and says, thank you for the nudie spray recommendation. Maya arrived yesterday.
Oh, great.
And it really works.
Oh, great. I'm so pleased. Liz, that is great news.
And then Michelle Naylor says, good morning. So happy to have you back on the pod. Have listened to this week's show with Michael talking about cutting out bad foods. And I want to tell you about a book that I've been reading on Kindle.
It's
called
Amazing. We've got to recommend that.
Ultra Processed People by Chris Van Tulken. Tulken?
He's one of the twins.
Oh, of course, yeah. And what's the other one called? Chris and Zach? Oh, crikey. Anyway, they're great, these two, aren't they? It's really opened my eyes to the food industry and the additives they put in our food. Yeah, that's what Eddie Abu's always going on about. I now look to the shelves in the supermarket in a very different way. Definitely worth a look if you're interested in your health. You know, I'm trying really hard to not eat quite so much processed stuff.
I read a book by Johan Hari. Got the pre... Mm. What's it called? When you get the... Before it's printed?
Yeah. I know what you mean, like a pre-copy.
Anyway, I got a pre-copy, so it's not out yet, but I'm going to highly, highly, highly recommend it. It's about food and Ozempic and is it bad? Is it good? Why do we all have such a problem with eating and food and what's going on? But it has a chapter on... how food is made, how fast food is made or processed food is made, and it will...
Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it will put you off forever.
Alison Treadwell, last one here, says, great to have you guys back. Have you watched Saltburn?
Yes.
I would love to hear your thoughts on it. I loved it. What a twist. We did watch Saltburn. Obviously, we weren't making this podcast at the time.
I think we should talk about it properly next week. It needs time.
Does it?
Okay, let's just do a
quick thing. I think we both really enjoyed
it,
thought it was great. It's quite interesting. The more popular it became, the more people said, I didn't really like it.
Well, people found the sexy bits too upsetting, but I didn't. I found it important to understand how twisted he was, Brian Keough, and I thought he delivered it so brilliantly, that kind of... literally burning desire for someone where he would do anything to feel closer to him amazing.
Most people listening to this, I think, have probably already watched it. That's why I thought we should probably just skirt over it. But I thought it was almost perfect. I thought it was just really good. The guy who plays his mate, the posh guy.
Oh, my God. He's unbelievable.
Australian. He was brilliant. Richard E. Grant and Rosamund Pike were perfect
so
in it
good.
As well. I loved all of it, and then the big naked sexy dance towards
was unbelievably good.
It was brilliant.
Do you know, I was going to... You weren't in. Chester wasn't in. Like, Joel wasn't here. No kids. And I was going to record me dancing around the kitchen naked using strategically placed plants hide my nether regions and send it to you as a joke with Murder on the Dance Floor playing.
I wish you'd done that.
I'll do it at some point. That would be great.
So, yes, I thought it was great. But one thing we did watch, which we should talk about next week, Poor Things. Let's talk about that next week.
Yes. Yeah. I'll write it down in
the book.
It'll
be a great recommendation. So, ladies and gents, if you're going to message us this week, we've done 58 minutes after all.
We're rubbish, aren't we?
I know. We said we were trying to keep this down to about 35 minutes because we've got stuff to do. But every week we enjoy it so much, it goes on and on and on. Yes, if you're going to message us this week, message us with a great idea, because we'll have two more for you next week and we can read out some of your great ideas.
Don't message us if you don't want someone to steal it, because if you tell us, we're going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's just an idea that you don't mind throwing away.
Have a great week, folks.
We love you.
We'll speak to you very soon. Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
It's a pleasure. Thanks. Thanks, Davina.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.